Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 119. As tonight I endeavor to complete our study in this chapter. This chapter has been quite a learning experience for me, and I trust for you as well. A little testimony I share with you: as I study this passage week to week, I am just continually amazed at the new things that God brings to my attention concerning the Word of God. Many times, they're very similar to things I've learned before, but a different angle, a different approach. And boy, am I glad that God just doesn't use one approach. He uses different angles, helps my mind understand things. And sometimes I need a couple reminders in a different couple different ways. Tonight we're going to pick up in Psalm 119, verse 161, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter. I invite you to follow along, and I want you to pay attention tonight to the attitudes that the psalmist is exhibiting. As I read this and studied this, I was overwhelmed by the attitude of the psalmist and his spirit concerning the Word of God. All right, let's read. Follow along with me. 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Now, I don't know about you, but there's something that strikes me about these verses, and it's the final verse, 176. Do you notice the difference? Do you notice something unique about this final verse, 176? How it stands out? It's almost a verse of confession. The psalmist here at the end of this incredible passage about the Word of God and how he shares his great love for it and his delight in it, he makes this very intriguing statement. He says, I have gone astray. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Like a lost sheep. Well, a sheep, when they're lost, they will not find their way back home. You know, sheep aren't known for their navigational abilities, skills. They're very reliant upon the shepherd or maybe upon the sheepdog. And the psalmist here is likening himself to his sheep, and he says, Frankly, I've gone astray, Father. I've gone astray. I'm like a lost sheep. And then he says, seek me. Do you get the gravity of that? He's identifying and he's saying, honestly, before God, I have gone astray. Oh, seek after me. Do you realize the incredible mercy and grace of God that you see in that statement? Where he's identifying that God is such a gracious God that he seeks after those of us that are going astray. You know, if it doesn't know Christ, if you're not saved, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone our own way, says there in Isaiah chapter 53. You know, we can't find our own way because we are dead in trespasses and sin. And it's the grace of God that reaches down and we believe. But you know what? Some of us that are believers, or all of us at some point in our lives, we sin, right? We go astray. We walk in ways of error. We go off the right path. And the psalmist here says, and what he's doing is he's identifying God as a God who is the great shepherd, who seeks after his sheep that have gone astray. And boy, am I glad for that. Have you ever felt the conviction of the Spirit of God in your life? When you've done something that was wrong and you know it, and that sickening feeling in your stomach, the looking over your shoulder to make sure nobody else is watching. You know what? That's the shepherd and his staff, and he's probing you, and he's seeking after you. And the psalmist here ends this whole passage with this thought, I've gone astray like a lost sheep, seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. He still loves God, but he's very honest. He's identifying himself as a sinner who rests himself at the foot of the cross. Of course, he doesn't know that the cross isn't here yet, but he rests himself at the grace of God, the mercy of God. Now, that's how this chapter ends, isn't it? Interesting? That such a triumphant passage on the Word of God would end in such a way. We'll come back to that later. Let's go back to 161. As we have seen throughout this passage, throughout this chapter, this psalmist is under pressure. And here he's speaking of princes or rulers, and he is saying that they are pursuing after him without a cause. I don't deserve this, he says, but rulers, they're pursuing after me. They're harassing me. But my heart stands in awe of thy word. Now, so many times as we've gone through this, we've talked about the idea of perspective and the idea of focus. Now, what we have described here for us is we have an intensity that is coming from without upon the psalmist. A persecution that's coming at him. And he is making a choice. What? To look at the persecutors? No. He's looking at a choice to look at the Word. He realizes the pursuers are after him. He realizes they are harassing him. But what he does is he places his heart in a direction that it looks to God and it fears God and His Word. It stands in awe, or it has a fear, or reveres God's Word. This would be God's encouragement to us as we suffer, or if we are persecuted. This would be God's advice. Yes, recognize that they're out to get you, but you stand in awe of me. Stand in awe of me. This doesn't make human sense, doesn't make logical, it's not logical. But dear ones, we are men and women, we are to be men and women of faith. Yeah, we recognize the dangers, but we have to have an incredible respect of God's word. You know what that means? That means we need to believe that it's powerful. We need to believe that it is packed full of God's truth. We need to believe that it is living. We need to trust God and His Word. Now this next verse, 162, the best way I can describe it is, you know what, can I get you four girls to help me with something? Can I get you to come up here and help me with something? Come on up here. All right. Now, here's what we're going to do, okay? Yeah, I want to tell you a little something. I'm going to surprise everybody, all right? So we're going to just talk amongst yourselves. Yes. Or what you do? Loud, whatever. Okay. Yes. Okay. Ready? Ready? Okay. I'll tell you when. Okay. Just do it. All right. We're ready. Got my helpers all set. Now you guys can go up there. Now there was one day where four little girls were out in the garden. And they were out in the garden and they were having just so much fun. Their mommy had given them some marigolds to plant. And they were out there planting the marigolds in a nice little straight row. When all of a sudden their spade hit something hard. And so they began to scrape away the dirt. And soon they found a huge piece of gold. Woo! All right, that's great. Thank you so much. Now, girls, why would you jump around like that if you found a huge piece of gold? Why? What's the big deal about gold? What do you think, Chloe? It's very hard to find. Absolutely. It's very hard to find. You know anything else about it? Money? It's worth a lot of money, right? Yeah, that's why your mommy probably keeps all of her jewelry in a nice, safe place, right? Don't want to lose it. That's right. All right. So the psalmist says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. This idea here, great spoil, is if you think about the armies that they would go in and they would attack the enemy. Attack the enemy city, they would overtake the city, and the soldiers would get the chance to go through each house. And they would get to go look in all the closets and under all the beds and lift up the mattresses and look for special treasures. And what would you do if you lifted up the mattress and you found $100,000? You found the jackpot. You would rejoice. You would be thrilled. And the psalmist here, as he has done throughout this passage, he rejoices. You know, and he draws it in a connection with finding great spoil, finding a great treasure. And thank you, girls. You did a great job. They were excited. They were jumping around. They were just ecstatic about what they found. Are we excited about the Word of God? Do you rejoice in it. You know, I've grown in this in my own life. Just a personal testimony. You know, God is increasingly showing me how precious His Word is. I do have a special privilege of being able to study it every day. Probably much longer than you get a chance to. And God is just beginning, He's showing me how valuable its truth it really is. And it's exciting to wake up in the morning and to have a hunger for it. And to have a desire to crack open this book. What does God want to tell me today? And you know, dear ones, the attitudes of the psalmist we talked about tonight, the attitude of reverence, the attitude of rejoicing. A reverence for the Word, rejoicing over the Word. And may that be a description of your heart, of my heart. If you ever find it, it becomes such drudgery. It becomes so difficult to drag yourself to the Word. That should be a warning to us that there are some very basic problems and some things that must be dealt with in your life. God's Word should bring us joy. We should rejoice over God's Word. So now the psalmist, 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Pretty self-explanatory there. Hates falsehood, but he loves the law. Pretty clear contrasting. 164, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. The psalmist speaks of praise, and he speaks of this praise throughout these two stanzas. Look at verse 171. My lips shall utter praise. That word utter is to pour out or to bubble over. And you know why is, when you look at a pot and you see all the bubbles coming out and over. Or you think of soap. Girls, have you ever put too much bubble bath in your bathtub? And you run the water just a little bit too long, and you come in the bathroom, and out popping out are these bubbles. Now, bubbles are happy, aren't they? Yeah, they're, so why? I don't know, but they're happy things. And you have these bubbles, and my lips shall utter or bubble over with praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Again, the idea of an attitude of praise. So the psalmist has a reverence for God's word, rejoicing over God's word, a love for God's word, and a praise of God because of his word. Now, 165, pay attention to this. I think this is key. This verse really grabbed a hold of me. And take note, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. All right. That is a pretty clear statement, isn't it? How many of you desire peace in your life? Absolutely. We all desire peace. What? How many of you desire great peace? Yeah, so the psalmist isn't just, you know, satisfied here with peace. He's saying that, like, over an abundance of peace. Great peace. And he says great peace. And this is the word shalom. We've heard that before, right? Similar to that Hebrew greeting. It means completeness, soundness, tranquility, quiet. Great peace have they which love thy law. Alright, I want to ask you a question here. Does the psalmist love God's law? I think it's pretty safe we can say he loves God's law. Now, we've got to know him pretty well over these months. Is his life a bed of roses? Everything going well? No, it's not. Well, then how in the world can he say such a thing? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, something very interesting about peace is this. The peace that God will give us is an inner peace and strength that can only come from him and is present because we trust in him. You and I may have great bumps in the road, great struggles and challenges and things going on in our lives. But I believe it's very safe to say from testimonies like this and from others throughout the scriptures that we can still have peace. We can still know the peace of God. Personal testimony. There's been times in my life where I have encountered just very great struggles, inner struggles. I have a tendency at times to really internalize things. And I have a tendency to really chew on things a lot more than I should. And I have found that these things that I chew on, it's very unhealthy for me, physically. And as I have realized this, I have begun to fight it. I've realized it's a battle. And I cling to truths like this, and this is why I fight against this. Because when we internalize our problems and we just dwell on them, and that's our whole life, what we're looking at is all of these big challenges, problems, things going on that we have to deal with. We flood our life with things of this world. And God is crowded out. And what I have found is it's worth the fight. It's worth the fight to break through the clouds of the things of this world, the challenges, the struggles, and to get your eyes back on God. And to fight and say, I don't need to be dwelling on those things or thinking about those things. I need to be standing in awe of God's word. Many days, this was a daily battle. Maybe several times a day. Spiritual warfare is real. The challenges are great. The enemy is powerful. But our God is greater. And his word is sufficient. And I trust that we have learned that throughout our study. Great peace have they which love thy law. Love it. Love it. Love it. How do you love God's law? Well, you know you love it when you spend time in it. When you rejoice over it. When you revere it and have a reverence for it. When you praise God because of it. In the end of that verse, it says, and nothing shall offend them, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. It's another way to say that. We're going to have things thrown across our path that maybe a year ago would have tripped us up. But as we turn our attention to God's word and love his law, God carries us over those obstacles. He takes us, and even if we encounter those struggles, he still holds us up. He still takes us right with him. In closing here, Let me just read down through these verses, make a few more comments. Verse 166, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I want you to notice the idea, the attitude of hope in verse 166. And in 167, you have the attitude of, I'm going to obey. 167, 168, very similar. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. 168, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. An utter honesty here before the Lord. All my ways, he's recognizing God knows all things. And that's why he says that. 169, what, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. And then we have 171, 172, words of praise. 173, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. And again, we come to that final verse. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. In conclusion, this chapter I've given a title as the sufficiency of God's word. We have spent a couple months looking at this chapter. 176 verses. And the vast majority of them speaking of God's precious word. I trust that you, as I have been challenged, I trust you will be challenged to grow in your love, your delight of it, and that you would join the psalmist in having a reverence for God's word, that you might find yourself rejoicing over it, that you would love it, that you would praise God because of it, and that you would know God's peace in your life. Lord Jesus, thank you for teaching us from this psalm, a very fascinating study for us as a church. And you have driven this point home. Your word is sufficient for us in all aspects of our lives. Lord, I ask that we would be a people who stand upon your word, and that it be obvious to the looking world, watching world. Father, I pray for your people. I pray that you would strengthen them as they go from this place. I pray that your word would give them strength throughout this week. Empower them to be your ministers wherever they go. May your light shine, and may others be pointed to Jesus Christ. To you be the praise and the honor and the glory for all of these things, in Jesus' name. Amen.